There she was, just a walking down the street singing.
It's the Steve Gruber Show. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve. Born on this day back in 1938, songwriter Jeff Barry, who wrote that one, Doo-Wah-Diddy-Diddy, to do Ron Ron. He's kind of a fan of onomatopoeia, I guess. Be My Baby, Baby I Love You, Tell Laura I Love Her. He had themes with his songs. Jeff Barry, born on this day back in 1938. SteveGruber.com, at Steve Gruber Show on Twitter. Find me on Twitter, at Scott Bertram. And very quickly, before we get to Tim Carney, the March jobs report is just in, if I'm reading this correct. Minus 701,000 jobs in March, unemployment up to 4.4%. That March data does not contain most of the layoffs that we've seen and job losses we've seen this month. But yes, 701,000 jobs lost in March, the new numbers for the jobs report today. Tim Carney, senior political columnist at the Washington Examiner, also resident fellow at the American Enterprise Institute, AEI.org, and author of the great book from last year, Alienated America, Why Some Places Thrive While Others Collapse. Tim, thanks for joining us here on the Steve Gruber Show.
Thank you for having me. And today I'm also running a homeschool academy for six kids and two dogs. So pardon the background noise. There's nowhere to hide at my house.
Are you all prepared for today's education?
I am not. I'm prepared for the weekend, which will be exactly like the week, but with less math to do for the kids.
See, my kids actually got their schoolwork done in advance yesterday. All that was on the agenda today when I left home was a spelling test. That's it. So spelling test and then the weekend's here. Not too bad.
Very nice, yes.
Tim, your latest piece up at the Examiner, coronavirus revisionism when the media pretends their narrative is reality. There have been multiple examples, and I think we're about to get a new one here in a minute, which I'll tell you about. But there have been so many times in the past month, 6 weeks, when things have just shifted and the media shifts to accommodate without recognizing what has gone wrong.
That's right. And so what I was focusing on there was the very basic question of, was coronavirus going to be really bad and a pandemic? Mm-hmm. And there was an article in late January on Vox.com about where this one writer spoke to multiple infectious disease experts and then concluded, as it was put in a tweet, that no, the coronavirus is not going to be a pandemic and it's not going to be a danger to people in the United States. And then later on, when people were, as they say, dunking on this tweet by Vox.com, they deleted it, which might be fine. It was a tweet that had bad information. And it was an article in the past that sort of had misread the future. But when they took it down, they said, we took down a tweet that no longer reflects the current reality of the situation. And that made me realize that they still thought that it did reflect, back in January, the reality. So stating this will never be a problem was somehow still the old reality. And so what I realized was that what they meant was, back then, there was a message to get out, and now there's a message to get out. And back then, the message to get out was, these people like Tucker Carlson and Tom Cotton, who are worried about this virus coming from China, are a bunch of racists.
Right.
And so that fact that Tucker and Tom Cotton are bad people was still true to Vox.com.
And Tim, I wonder if we're going to see something similar. And you wrote a bit about this just yesterday about... we're going to get guidance on masks here in a little bit. And it sounds like at least in places where there are some outbreaks, it'll be recommended that people are wearing something, whether it be a scarf or a T-shirt or something to cover their face. You wrote about the headline, the Trump administration hurt America when they lied to us about masks. But many in the media were saying the same thing, too, right? I mean, they were saying experts say don't wear masks. I'm wondering if we're going to see the same sort of revisionism in the media when it comes to masks here in the next few days.
Yeah, and so this was back in February, and you had the Surgeon General of the United States say, look, folks, stop. Seriously, people, stop buying masks.
Yep.
Now, there was a good reason to say that, and a lot of people at the time did say it. And Anthony Fauci said, the masks won't help you as much as you think, and our doctors and nurses need them, and people who are already infected need them. So that's like a measured, nuanced argument. But the Surgeon General said they will not keep you safe if you're currently healthy. And at the time, I remember a dozen media people jumping on and retweeting it. And the way that sometimes, you know, people try to be sort of patriotic and serve the cause, there was a ton of that saying, guys, you don't need masks. You don't need masks.
Right.
But if you paid close attention back then, there was underneath it, again, a responsible, measured message, which is, A, the masks won't help you as much as you think, and B, other people need them more. But the Surgeon General went beyond that, and so many in the media went beyond that and said, no, they don't help you at all. And that is the part that was the lie. Maybe the people in the media didn't know it, but the Surgeon General surely knew it was not true that for a healthy person walking down the street, the masks won't help you. And then, Scott, you know very clearly, the reason this spread is so dangerous, part of it is that people who think they're healthy have the virus.
Right.
So to say healthy people shouldn't wear it makes no sense when a huge part of the problem is we don't realize till a couple days later that we weren't healthy.
Tim Carney with us, senior political columnist at the Washington Examiner. Find his stuff at WashingtonExaminer.com and also resident fellow at the American Enterprise Institute, AEI.org. Tim's great book last year is called Alienated America, Why Some Places Thrive While Others Collapse. And I did want to ask about this because people, I mean, it's still valuable, clearly, the book. But a lot of the book is saying, hey, we have to resume being communities. We have to resume sort of this interlocking web of neighbors and doing things together. And Tim, we can't do that now at all. And so you wrote a bit about this yesterday, too. How do you think that social media has acted as sort of a replacement for what you were recommending in your book from last year during this shutdown?
What I always said, what I said in the book, and what I said when I was talking about the book, is that virtual communities are better than no community, but they're inferior to sort of real life in person communities, and sometimes they displace those real life in person communities. You ever go to a family gathering and all the teenagers are on their phone instead of actually talking to their uncles and aunts? That's
right.
The sort of thing I worried about. Well, that's not really a problem now because we don't have family gatherings. So this is a situation where virtual communities are the only community that a lot of us have. As I mentioned, I have the community of seven other people and two dogs in my house. But
yes.
Beyond that, virtual communities. And the email listservs are sort of firing back up. There's a... One friend told me that they now have a neighborhood text conversation that never existed before. My mom, who's retired in the town where I grew up, who used to sort of hate all the Facebook groups because they were just, you know, like people bragging about their kids making the honor roll and that sort of stuff, now loves it because every day there's somebody organizing a drive to sew masks. Or organizing a sort of honking parade for some nurse who just got off her shift or person who just got discharged from the hospital. And so the better angels of our nature might actually be coming out on parts of the internet right now.
Tim Carney, WashingtonExaminer.com, AEI.org. Thanks for joining us here on the Steve Gruber Show.
Thank you.
Like you, all of us at Enbridge are thankful for the professionals who keep communities safe and healthy during this COVID-19 crisis. Our people live and work in communities like yours. And in this time of social distancing, we're using alternative work arrangements to keep people safe. We also know it's important we continue to safely deliver the affordable and reliable energy we all need to fuel our lives. Stay healthy. Stay safe. We're all in this together. Learn more at Enbridge.com/safety.
When I was little, I didn't talk for a long time. I liked things to always be the same. Anything new or different would scare and upset me. I was very sensitive to lights and sounds. It was almost like I had bigger eyes and ears than everyone else. So I built secret hiding places where nothing could get in. I didn't like looking people in the eye. It made me feel uncomfortable. I throw big tantrums over little things like when my socks didn't match. Sometimes I do the same things over and over. Until one day, I found out I had autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I learned how to live with it better.
You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
I'm a counselor for the Michigan Problem Gambling Helpline. People don't want to call us. They're ashamed, and they don't think they can be helped. I have years of experience as a counselor, and real-life experience, too. I was a gambler once myself, so nothing you say can shock me. It's my job to help you, so call me.
Call 1-800-270-7117 for help. Sponsored by the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services and the Michigan Association of Broadcasters.